Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 176, The Conclusion, part 2, Whatever Happened to the Will of God for Now? Today is Sunday, December 5th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota and is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live anywhere in the state of Minnesota, and you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. That's all there is to it. Just simply call us, register, and you'll be able to come in the next day to pick up groceries and come in once a month after that. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation. You'll see that up at the top of the homepage. You're also going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to check out PastorPaul.org and connect to the online community. You can also call our new comment line. Be sure to do that. The new line is, if you're out of state, 1-877-489-0922. Local, 612-208-0918. So be sure to call the comment line. You can ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. We'll probably post those comments throughout the week at Pastor Paul's blog. So be sure to give us a call. At Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. So be sure to check those links out after you listen to Pastor Paul's messages. This month, the month of December, here is the lineup. Whatever happened to the will of God for now, be my witnesses, tried faith, hypocrisy, and the spiritual flood is coming. Those are the five messages for the month of December, starting with Friday, December 3rd. Be sure to listen to both parts. Part 1 is on Friday. Part 2 is on Sunday. So you can listen to both parts of the same message. The conclusion is on Sunday. Have a great month of December. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. God bless you. And we'll see you back here twice weekly for Pastor Paul's podcast.
How about, oh my God, if you get anything out of this message, get the right now out of it. Do you know what tomorrow's going to bring? Do you? Do you know 100% sure what tomorrow's going to bring? Anybody in here? Or you can call on the telephone. What's her name, this astrologist? Huh? What's her name? Jean Dixon? Call up. You can even find out what kind of man you're going to get. I'd say that's getting pretty desperate. Ooh. Should you not expect the unexpected? Should you not expect the unexpected? And anyway, the very things that we thought would never happen often do happen, don't they? Well, that'll never happen to me, because see, I keep my eyes on the road. Wham! That'll never happen to me. And the angels come and get you and take you up to heaven. Does not God's word overwhelm us unexpectedly and unawares? What is your life? The Bible says in the scripture, it says here, it even is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time, a fog on a mountaintop. Aren't the seasons a lesson to us? Don't they come and don't they go? Doesn't the green, now here we got green outside here. Isn't this a lesson? It was all iced over. And now look out here. All these windows need cleaning. And all green out here. Isn't this a lesson? I can't see a thing out that window. Isn't this a lesson? Oh, a parking lot. Well, isn't it a lesson? Aren't the seasons? My bald head, isn't this a lesson? Your gray hairs, isn't that a lesson? That, ooh, when you get up in the morning, ooh, that getting going, you know what I mean? Huh? Isn't that a lesson? Doesn't that teach you something? Here you are looking towards the future, and here you are, you've looked all that time towards the future, and here you are right now. Huh? Now. Say that word.
Now.
Well, say it good and loud for the radio audience.
Now.
All together. One, two, three.
Now.
Louder. Did you guys hear that? Huh? You think that's crazy? They hear it. Radio audiences are very alert. They are. And they come and see me, and sometimes they come and say, and they get to the now of that thing. They get to me and they say, I say, hey, this is it. This is all you get. I never thought you'd look like that either. Stop. Oh, God. Ooh. Why is it that we build on such uncertainties? Why is it we build on the clouds? Why is it that we bank on earthly future? I think we have to learn to live for God and the kingdom of God right now and trust Him only, and serve Him. See, we tip God. We come to church, and now we have made God our servant. Lord, I'm putting my order in. Cadillac, tinted windows, white walls, chrome hubcaps, custom floor, up and down windows, tilted seats, power steering, power brakes, stereo without. Like to have it next Wednesday, 3 o'clock. Thank you. I'll write the check out in faith. You don't think people do that? And then they come and they say, well, I got this Cadillac. They got a $419 payment every 2 weeks. Say amen. Oh, for soon and very soon, you are going to see the Lord. And you know why I know that soon and very soon we're going to see the Lord? Because people are getting meaner than hell itself. That's how I know it. Say amen, somebody. They get that tight, mean look around their lips, and they get their eyes drawn back, and they've tried everything in faith, and they went to this faith church and that faith church. Now they went to the bigger faith church, see, because they've got a bigger truth and the bigger faith of the bigger faith of the higher faith. But that isn't enough. They got to go to the higher faith. Huh? And so we got these 900-pound word hogs walking around. Huh? What good are they? And they're always laying these words on someone else. I have a word for you. Now I got one for you too. Get out. Say amen, somebody. Oh, God, there's so many people so full of so many words. It's just like the world. Remember how many words they had for you? They were repetitious, but there were a lot of words. And also, the ignorance of the future is a matter of fact. You're all ignorant sitting in here today. Very ignorant. So am I. So is the radio audience, the tape ministry. You're all ignorant concerning the future. Jeannie Dixon, you don't know nothing. You don't know the future anymore than anybody else does. You can look up at the stars all you wanna. You're still going to get more wrinkles. I'll give you a prediction. You will die. Oh, there's one other thing for sure. Taxes! That's what people say, but that's not for sure, is it? No, one thing for sure I can give you. You're all going to... It's given once to man to live and once to die. You know, isn't that funny how we think we'll never die? Did you ever think about... Do you ever think you'll die? Can you see yourself laying under dirt? Can you... I mean, can you visualize that? Oh, you're laying in there. And isn't it funny? You're just a nice guy after you die. You're laying there in a casket. Well, he had his ways. But all in all, he was a pretty nice guy. Yeah, no, we all have our ways, don't we? But we never think we're going to die. Time we pass, where are you going to eat? Oh, we'll go to Perkins. Okay, see you over there. They forget all about you. Forget all about you. God, what is a lot of vapor? Are you hearing this? And we can talk all we want about going to do. Some people are always going to do something. Well, I'm intending to do it. I'm going to do it. You wait till tomorrow. But see, tomorrow could bring prosperity. Tomorrow can bring trials. Tomorrow can bring adversity and sickness. Don't talk that way. If you talk that way, that's negative. People do not, they get sick. Be realistic. I asked this one guy, he was a positive confession type guy. Okay, now this brings it out so clear. And he says, Pastor Paul, I really have to tell you this. You know, a lot of the preaching is so negative. And, you know, I mean, you have to give positive things. I said, I'm giving positive things to people. I let him go on. He says, you know, these are symptoms and things like that. And he kept running. Every 2 minutes he was running. I says, what? And finally the Lord showed me. I says, man, have you got diarrhea? I says, you have left this conversation about 14 times. And finally, he had to confess that he had an illness. He had diarrhea and he had to go to the bathroom. I says, that's no sin. You're sick. It's almost like he said, shut up, don't tell anybody. This is just a symptom. I said, well, you keep sitting there and you'll find out that's not a symptom. You better get to the bathroom, boy. Say amen, somebody. But no, we're so afraid of dealing with it right now. How many are hearing this? I'm just trying to bring this out into full bloom of how ignorant we are of the future. Oh, that'll never happen to me because I'm moving too much faith. Takes faith to go on after the accident. Takes faith to go on after the shame has been put on you. Huh? Did you ever have somebody doing this to you? Na 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 na, like little kids. Ni ni na ni no no, huh? You ever been shamed? How many in here have been shamed? Never? Do you feel for the other guy when he's being shamed then? Hey, radio audience, do ya? Did you ever have all manner of evil said against you for his name's sake? Oh, it's getting so quiet on the radio audience, I don't believe it. They even stopped eating their Frito-Lay potato chips and sucking on that Pepsi. Our ignorance of the future is certainly a fact. We are about ready right now for stock shock. Ha! Watch him down there in them pig pens yelling up. It's all going to be empty, and all you're going to see on the floor is ticker tapes and people's hearts that have failed, and they're laying in the floor, frothing at the mouth because they lost it all. Here today and gone tomorrow. That's certainly a fact, isn't it? I believe there's two certainties I'd like to add here as a fact. We know nothing about things that shall come to pass. God only knows the future. You don't know. He knows the morrow, and it's hidden from us. Do you want to know the future? No, I want God to veil the future for me. I don't want to get into predicting the future. There's so many. Remember King Saul? He wanted to find out about the future, and he consulted this witch. I don't want to know about the future. I think I am greatly benefited by my ignorance of the future. It is hidden for my very own good. If I knew everything that was going to happen to me in my whole of my life, I'd say, forget it. Oh my God, God, just forget it, God, if I'd known everything that was going to happen in this last year. You don't know the future. Whew, we can't even handle now. Are you hearing it? It's hidden for our very own good. Suppose that you are to be happy by and by. And you read in your book of what's what and what's going to happen, and you read in this special little book you have. And it says, you will be happy by and by. What are you going to be? Or your fortune cookie tells you, by and by you're going to be happy. What are you waiting for? You're most unhappy waiting to be happy. Well, by and by I'm going to be happy. You're never happy. It misses. It passes you by. You're too busy looking for it. Oh, I'm waiting. I've got a telescope. It's going to come. I know it's going to pass you by. See, it's better that we do not know what's going to happen in the future, because then we can't enjoy the present. How can we enjoy one another right now if we're busy thinking about the future? How can I enjoy Corey if I'm busy about thinking about the future? By and by, we will meet by the river, by and by, when we all get to heaven. How about now? And he's sitting here and he has a need and you have a need and you have a need. By and by, we will meet. And the guy says, I hope I never meet you at the river because I need something right now. Now you're talking about meet me on the other side. Get lost. And again, don't put your eyes on me. Put your eyes on yourself and the now. What are we going to do with right now, my God? Well, Paul, what are you going to do right now with this mission now?
Oh, finances are bad. Nothing's coming in. Oh, I've threatened people. I never threaten people over the radio. Send your money in.
I've received a word from God. It's 8 o'clock in the morning and you're drinking coffee. Now, 8 o'clock in the morning, everybody drinks coffee. And the guy goes, oh, that must mean me. God's speaking to you to send in $100. You're sitting there with your shoes off. Everybody sits with their shoes off. Oh, I tell you, there's so much sham going on. All I say is pray about it. And if the Lord says for you to send some money in, send it in. And do it what? Right what? Say that word. Did you hear that? Did you hear it? Write what?
Now.
You ever procrastinate and put something off? You know you're supposed to do it. God, I know I have. Oh, if a person gave me a book and they said, Paul, here is a book of your whole future. This is your life. And they got people. Do you ever see that program? They got people behind the curtain.
Yes, Tanya. He says, way back there.
Oh, it's Mrs. Kramitz, my old English teacher.
Hello, Charles. Huh?
Well, maybe Mrs. Kramitz knows a whole lot of things. She get on, don't put her on the tube. You don't know what she's going to say, huh? No, I don't want anybody to come up with a book of my, this is your life, and present it to me. Say, this is your life. And you open it up, and it tells you your whole life, all the good things, all the bad things, all the people that are going to turn against you, all the people that are going to love you for 2 weeks and then drop you. All the, I mean, all this kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying? See, now, you know, you can be melancholy about the people that kind of leave you. That ever happened to you? You ever have somebody just kind of, what happened? That ever happened to you? I mean, you changed. You're not the husband that I once knew, huh? No need to tell me that we're through. It's all over now. You change, huh? Hey, people change. People change. Randy, people in your life are going to change. They probably have changed already. Have you met anybody that's changed on you right before your eyes? All of a sudden you're looking at me and say, I don't believe that's the same person. Where is the love? Where is the love? Huh? And they change. Don't talk about them. Let them talk about you. You don't say a word. Why? Because you're too busy with right now. How many are busy? No, you're all busy with right now. I've got you into it. You are into now. Oh, God, it's terrible living right now. I never realized I had so many aches and pains. Oh, God. Pretty hard to deal with your brain right now, isn't it, sometimes? Ah, take a look at your own heart right now. Oh, God. How many are hearing this message? Oh, for sure our ignorance is bliss. Whoa, are you hearing this? I'm so glad that I don't know the future.
Because what I've seen in this 14 years of my ministry is enough. I don't want another peek. I don't want a sneak preview of coming attractions. No way. Huh?
You want a sneak preview of coming attractions? Young man, you're sitting there. You know what I mean? And you know, you're sitting there. Aren't you glad that you don't know actually what's going to happen to you all the way down the line? Nightmaresville. And then again, it could be a lot of blessings. But then, well, there's a blessing up there. And so you sit there waiting, you're miserable waiting for a blessing. When's that blessing gonna come? It's kind of like waiting for someone to die. Uncle Fred, and he's willed you $2 million. $2,417.16 plus an old Cadillac that's worth a couple bills because it's old. And you're sitting around waiting and you're thinking about this. Well, praise God, I sure don't want to sit around like a vulture waiting for him to die. No, I don't want to sit around like a vulture. At least the vultures wait until a person dies. We don't wait. They're kindly, they wait until you are dead. Crows even look into your eye. And they'll pull the eyelid open and see if it's moving. Yeah, they do. They won't eat you while you're alive. We do that, don't we? We eat each other alive. Will you die? Uncle Charlie, die, please. Die. Huh? My uncle gave me a ranch up in this is Northern California. In Fresno, had a couple of houses on it. He was the kind of guy that buried money in the ground. He says, Paul, just a minute, he has dogs all over. He says, just a minute, and he goes over and he lifts up pulls a fake bush away or something, and then reaches under some wood and gets underneath there and gets jars out. And he says, you know what, I don't know if there's money underneath this part over here or not. I forget. And I thought, God, this is so sad. Now, he says, the reason I'm going to show you everything, the sprinkler system and this and that and everything, I want to show you everything. You know why? Because this is all yours. And my old Greek heart was adding it up. Ding, 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 house. Okay, that's we're talking 65.9, and we're talking real estate, and we're talking 75.4 over here, a little fixing 90,000. We're talking property. We're talking this. We're talking a garage. We're we're getting up there now. We're talking 300,000 here. Ooh, wow! And it took me about 30 seconds of my stinking self, and I said, "You know what, Johnny? I don't want none of this. Give it to somebody else. Because you know why? I'm already spending this money. I'm already bound up. My heart, it's palpitating. I'll probably have a heart attack. God, forgive me!" And he did give it to somebody else. It's getting real quiet in here. You dummy! You could have used that for God. Huh? No. No, I didn't need it. And I don't want it. There's no way. And finally ended up, he gave it to my sister. I mean, that's all willed over, and he gave $15,000 to this church when he dies. So I called him up, and I says, "I understand that you gave $15,000 to this church when you die." I says, "I'm not a person to wait around for you to die, so why don't you just give the $15,000 to the church right now and feed the poor right now and feel good about it?" "Oh, no, it'll build up interest. It'll build up interest in here." I says, "Yeah, well, it doesn't have my interest. I mean, you know, unless it's here doing some good. But John, anyway, think about doing something for the kingdom of God right now." Yeah. You know what I mean? I said, "John, you know, really, don't get caught up in this thing like this." And I really felt sorry for him because he's all bound up. Now the guy's 73 or 74 years old. And I said, "Johnny, that is so sad." You know what I mean? Oh, God. And you don't know him, so I'll talk like this because we all have relatives. And my mother dies, and he says, "Well, did you check with the welfare?" I said, "John, to bury Mom? You know, check, did you check this, did you do that?" I says, "No, John," I says, "there's going to be two people in this, my brother and myself, and you. And I'm going to ask you right now to jump in." So he jumped in and took care of the funeral arrangements and everything like that. But you see how people that look into the future have a fear of the right now. And you know, right then and there, it started breaking, and he started spending money. He even calls long distance now. He never used to do that. He'd call for 3 minutes. "Oh, 3 minutes is up. Goodbye." I think we talked for 6.5 minutes the other recently, and it was really good because he got to say different things. He's loosening up now, see. And by the convicting power of the right now God, and by what I had to say with him, he started to look at this thing. I says, "Don't count on the future. You never know what's going to happen. I might die before you do, John. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to be waiting around for somebody to die." I said, "John, shouldn't we remember the brevity and the frailness of our bodies and the end of our life? You can't be here long, John. We're all going to have to die. Don't hold on to this world." I says, "Your body is so frail." I says, "My body is so. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when we're going to die. John, I don't know when you're going to die. I don't know. I don't want to know." I said, "John, how would it be if everybody knew the date of people when they were going to die?" And you'd all be sitting there. "Well, today is the day. This is the day. This is the day that you're going to die. Oh, boo, hoo, hoo, hoo. And this is the day. And this is the day that you're..." You don't know. You don't know. You could last 2 weeks. You could last 2 weeks. Oh, I get a point to everybody because everybody thinks you're prophesying over them. You in the balcony could last 2 weeks, or you could last 2 years. You know, sometimes people take that and say, "God, he spoke right to me." And they worry about it. No, everybody, no one knows when they're going to go. You know that? And it seems like the nicest people go first. "I'm going to go. I'm going to last a while, I think." It does. It does. He says, "Do you ever hear this saying? He's too mean to die." Well, that isn't really true either. It's when God, when your time is up, your time is up. It's like this. One time I had this little hot potato in here. You ever had that, honey? This little hot potato game. You ever had those where you wind up? And it ticks. Tick, 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 tick. And they throw it to you? You don't know. This is a different type of... You had a hot tomato then or what? What do you mean? Did they have a thing that would go off then? Uh-uh. Well, did somebody yell then something? Gotcha, something like that?
I don't know how that works.
Well, but you know what I mean by the hot potato, right? Yeah. Okay, I thought you were going to come up with some kind of other thing that we could do. But anyway, then they throw this potato around, they throw it here, and they throw it there, and then a bell goes off. Ding! Don't you hate to get caught by the hot potato? Huh? It's called hot potato, hot potato. Ow, ow, ow. You know, throw it here, and you throw it here, and you throw it here. And then you get it back, and when's it going to go off? A third time. Get rid of it, get rid of it. That's when it's going to happen. In the hour that you least expect it, you're going to go. And in the hour when you least expect it, Christ's return will come. He'll come. Think about that. In the hour that you least expect, and he's going to ask, where's faith? Oh, they're over there getting a teaching. Where is faith? Where were you when I was a sick and a prison and a widowed? Where were you when I was a hungered? Where were you when I was in a prison? Well, we didn't know you were any of those things. Well, I tell you, if you'd done the least of mine, done to me. Oh, Lord, I was sitting home. Oh, let me close the message here. Aren't you glad, let me say it one more time, that we cannot foretell when we shall depart? If it was 100 years, you'd be counting the years. If it was 10 months, you'd be counting the weeks. If it was 10 weeks, you'd be counting the days. If it was 10 days, you'd be counting the hours. If it was 10 hours, you'd be counting the seconds. What folly! And I think we need to recognize this of God in regard to the future. It is true right now regarding the future that God is in it. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. You need to use this in letters. If the Lord wills it. I'll see you tomorrow if it's the Lord's will. You will be healed. Oh, this is so dangerous to preach like this. But it is the will of God to heal. It is. But how is he healing? What is the person's real need? We prayed for my mother and they called back, she is healed. And I said, yes, she is. I said, mother, do you have any kind of pain? She says, I have no pain at all. Well, she lived for a time with no pain. Wasn't that a healing? It totally wiped out people that she didn't get up and tap dance. Are you hearing this today? So what do we do right now? I believe that nothing happens apart from the divine determination and decree. God is the one that has the final say. He says, every hair of your head is numbered. I believe all things are under regulation. All things have been appointed a place and a time in God's plan. And nothing happens after all but what he permits it or ordains it. God, Pastor, this is happening to me and that. And I got pastors calling all the time. And this is happening and that's happening. I said, well, hey, what are you worried about? Let it happen. Let it happen. Well, what am I going to do? I said, you're going to get busy right now. The other day I fell into, it was about 2 weeks ago, I fell into sort of a, you ever fall into a nervous fit? How many knows what a nervous fit is? Don't know what it is? It's a nervous fit. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not negative. You get into a nervous fit. And I got into a nervous fit and I sat down and I felt sort of like a, reject. And I'm sitting there and saying, Lord, what's ever going to happen? I mean, this is, God, I recognize you in the affairs of this, but I mean, what's going to happen? Can you tell me? He said, would you mind getting up and doing your dishes? And I got up and I did my dishes, and you know what? I felt very well. I forgot all about my troubles. Come on, forget all your troubles, get happy. Do your dishes on that indecision day. Huh? Sounds like a song, doesn't it? Come on, get up and do your dishes when you're in that indecision day. Come on and get up and sweep your floor. Come on and get up and make your bed. Come on and get to work right now. Get ready for the judgment day. Huh? Because it could happen right now. But anyway, closing this. Whatever that our purposes may be, there is a higher power, that higher power which we must ever acknowledge. There is a purpose in God. There's something, if the Lord will. We've got to get back to that. If the Lord will. I'm going to continue on in this ministry if it be the Lord's will. Say amen. And I am going to go on with this ministry if it be the Lord's will. Not Fred's will, not Betty's will, not Patty's will, not anyone's will. If it be the Lord's will. You know what just came to me? But what are you going to do right now? I'm going to do and ask the Lord's will in my life for right now. You know what the Lord just showed me? He showed me that I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to finish that room. We're going to paint up that room down there. We started painting. See, we're having sort of a financial crunch here. What's a financial crunch? How many in here have had financial crunches? Well, what's that got to do with painting that room right now? Huh? Nothing. Do you want to get out of depression? Do something right now. Don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Do something right now. You know, we start to boasting, and I'm closing this up right now. Don't boast in anything. It's evil. The Bible says it's all evil. Don't boast in tomorrow. Oh, God. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Whew. Let me say this in closing. The using of the present is our duty. I was coming to church today, and I thought, what am I going to do right now when a car come around the corner? And I thought, well, I'm going to pray for that guy right now over there. And I says, God, bless that man in that car right now. Lord, bless these people in this audience right now. And bless the people on the radio ministry right now. Has God given you something to do? Well, you better do it right now then. Yeah, but I must go home and take care of my land. I bought some land. I got to go home. I got to take care of this steer. I got to take care of my wife. We just got married. You know? The Lord says, what's that got to do with right now? You going to come to the feast? Are you going to do what I've commanded you to do right now? Don't get your eyes on somebody else. What are you going to do right now? See, that's the question that's put before us. See? What are we going to do right now? Huh? Yeah. See? And you know, honey, here's you are, and God's brought you into this church down here, you know? And what are we going to do with you right now? See? What are we going to do with little Rosemary, and what are we going to do with Rosie right now? See? What are we going to do? Are we going to teach them dedication? Are we going to teach them that they have to do things right now? And these young men that are coming in out of these different prisons and so on, that God is sending us all out of the way. And this summer, we'll get all these young teenagers that are coming down. It is so successful down here with people and from people coming from court referrals that now they're going to send young people down here for training. What are we going to do with them right now? See, there is a job to do. And there's a job to do right now. Either you're going to take on the yoke and take on the work that's to be done right now, or you won't take it on. See, but it's got to be done right now, doesn't it? Doesn't it? I mean, you know, you can get a look at situations, and that ain't going to help you. You can look at situations, and that's not going to help you. And Marty and Corey and you people and all of you here, and you can start looking at situations. That isn't going to help you. It's what you're going to do with it right now, see? And you'll be misunderstood. Because you're taking the job at hand and you're doing it right now. And they say, how can you continue under this circumstance? That ain't got a thing to do with doing the will of God right now. Let me tell you that right now. Say amen, somebody. How many heard this message today? One thing I know for sure about the future is that I'm saved. And that's the only thing I know, and that's all I have to know. I mean, if I know I'm saved, I can go through anything. People went, God, and they get melancholy for you. Oh, and they just, oh. Did you ever have somebody get melancholy for you? Say you had a boyfriend, and then you, and the boyfriend jilts you or something like that, and then you have all these friends that come over and they get melancholy with you? Did ever happen to you? What's your name? Sandy. Poor Sandy. And they draw it out. Poor Sandy. Huh? No. See, you got to forget all about this whoop-de-doo boyfriend, and you got to get on to what's going to happen with Sandy right now. Huh? What's your name?
Mary.
Poor Mary. Poor Pastor Paul. That's a religious voice. We feel so sorry for Pastor Paul. Oh. Pastor Paul is busy doing what God has told him to do right now, one step at a time. Say amen, somebody. God, it is so sickening, these religious spirits that are running around and pursy-lipped and religious and self-righteous and walking around. What's going to happen now? Get busy. Get up off it right now. Get your eyes off your miserable life and let's move out. Huh? What? Right what?
Now.
Don't live in the past. Remember how it used to be? Oh, huh? What's that got to do with now? Man, I can look back on my life. I can look back on my kids. I can look back on all of this. And I can get all melancholy and I can take out the album and run these home movies that people hate. And here's your kid running. There's Stevie when he was 15 months old. And some people live that way. And there's Stevie when he's 21 months old. And there's Stevie when he's 21 years old. I just kid, Steve. Oh, Pastor Paul, how can you laugh with all the adversity in your life and all the problems of this mission and everything? What's that got to do with it? Tell me, what's it got to do with it? God, I expect the unexpected. It seems like everything unexpected has happened to me expecting that. But what's that got to do with running the mission? Now, one thing, let me tell you, and you're all going to have things in your lives. Adversities and trials and tribulations sent of God. That's one way to get people moving, isn't it? Whack! And God, when he comes back, it says he's going to come with a rod. Whack! Oh, you don't want to listen? You don't want to do the will of God? I came. I came with peace, and I came, and I cried out. I came as meek as a lamb. Now I'm coming with a rod. Over there. Whoop! Oh, wow. What's going on? And what's going to happen in the end time? Your enemy will be in your own household. Whoop! And they're going to be hated in the house of your friends. Whoop! And you're going to say, who is my mother, and who is my brother, and who is my sister? And I'm going to ask you, Paul, do you love me more than these? And I'm going to say, will you sell all you have, and will you follow me? Now, those are scriptures we don't give. I'm going to say, if you can't do these things, if you don't bear a cross, you can't wear a crown. And if you're more interested in the opinions of people than doing the will of God, then you cannot be my disciple. Now that is fanatic according to the world, but aren't they fanatic? I used to be a fanatical drinker. Well, actually, it was my car. It couldn't go by a bar. Come on, stop it. Then park. A fanatical booze hound. You know what I mean? But now I'm fanatical for the Lord. Why can't we understand that? We do understand it when we start living in the right now. Say amen. Are you married?
No.
Not married. Okay, well, be careful. Be careful. Be careful with the young man with the three-piece suit and, you know, a little handkerchief and a Bible. Be careful. Yeah, just be careful. And somebody wants you for a roommate, and I'm talking to radio audiences. Somebody wants you for a roommate, forget it. You have to sign a lease, an agreement. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? No, praise God, you don't know. Praise God. If my mother knew everything that was going to happen to her through me, she wouldn't even have had me. She'd say, discard! Reject! Whoop! You just stand outside the bars. The police, Paul, the police are after you. Oh, well, they know where to find me. Just like the young man I'm dealing with right now. I've gone fishing. What do you think of that? Of course, in the natural, you'd like to take him by the seat of the pants, you know. Huh? But that's not the way you do it. You give him freedom and you give him liberty and say, take another day of fishing. Think about it. Think about your life, and let me tell you, I was the same way. I was always had a sign hanging on my door, gone fishing. Yeah. I said, you out and you think about it, and then you come on back, and we'll welcome you back in here. But right now, we don't need this kind of spirit in here, see? Because I says, it seems like in my ministry, I've been surrounded by people that have gone fishing. My God, they come in the door with a sign hanging on them, gone fishing. I only heard this message today. Well.